Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Spaces. I'm your host, Forrest Foster. And I tell you what, we have a caller already. I'm going to try to chime him in. Let's see what we can do. We have a caller already. I'm going to see if we can chime him in. Let's see what we can do. Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Spaces. Who am I speaking with?
Forrest, it's Paul Signorelli. We were on the ALA e-learning session together a couple months ago.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
I just saw what you were doing today and decided that I wanted to participate, see what's going on. I didn't call in with any particular questions in mind, and I'm not totally familiar with the format of the show. So I'm here primarily as a passive listener, but if there's a chance to chime in with anything meaningful, happy to do that.
Well, sure. Great. Today, let me say, no problems, no qualms with that. Today we have Bob Seal on the show, ACRL, Research Librarian of the Year. And we're going to talk about, you kind of threw me off guard there, but this is good. I've never had a caller this early before and who wanted to stay on the line, but that's fine.
well, I'll see what I can do to be right here and keep myself and you awake.
Cool. Dean Seal, are you still with us, Dean Seal?
Hey, yes, I'm here. Thanks. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's fine. This is great. This is great. This is great monkey wrench. We can handle this. We were just talking about, before we got on the air, I don't know if you're a big basketball fan or not, but we were just kind of talking about the Wisconsin and Duke game. And what were your thoughts on that, Paul?
Is that that thing where you've got a big orange ball and you're trying to move it from one part of the court to another?
That sounds about right.
That's my level of awareness of it, yes.
Oh, wow. Well, we got to keep you up to speed.
I'm here for learning spaces, man. Help me out.
All right. We're gonna get into it in just a second. I know I was talking to Dean Seal about it, and you want to share your thoughts, Mr. Seal? I think he said he was pulling for Duke, or I can't remember what Wisconsin. I'm not sure what he said.
I was pulling for Wisconsin since, you know, we're in the Midwest, and that's the closest thing to Chicago. And Duke's won it so many times, I figured give the other guys a chance, but didn't turn out that way.
No, it didn't. It did not. I know I might get scathed for saying this, but I am not a Duke fan. But hey, that's a different topic. Again, today we have Dean Seal, and we're glad to have him on the show. We've talked a couple years ago about. How we can implement him into the show. And we missed, I guess, several months, actually about 24 months to be exact, and it was just fitting that around the time he received this award that we could make this work. Dean Seal has demonstrated the commitment to developing an academic library in a number of ways. Known as a staunch advocate for international library cooperation, his ability to share information in a bilingual environment has made Seal a strong advocate for breaking down barriers and extending partnerships between libraries in the U.S. and in Latin America. One of Seal's major accomplishments is the planning and construction of the LEAF Award-winning Loyola University Clark-Chick Information Commons. Under Seal's leadership and commitment to community engagement, the Information Commons has placed the library at the heart of Loyola's campus life and serves as an inspiration for similar projects at the institutions in Chicago and beyond. Well, if you already heard them, welcome Dean Seal to the show. And what we're going to do this time is we're going to do a little differently. Normally, we try to have a Q&A, but for this show, I wanted to spruce it up a little bit and do something differently. I'm going to try to highlight and bring forth a little different perspective on his career. by playing like a word association acknowledgement. And I'm going to throw out some words to you, Dean Thiel, and you just, whatever comes to your mind, you expand on it or expound on it, and we'll go from there. Is that all right with you?
No, that sounds great, Forrest.
Okay. So the first thing, I've been doing some research on you, and thought about things that people, you know, would like to know or get some, try to get some type of hindsight as opposed to the things that we already know about you. The first word I'm going to throw out is astronomy. First thing that comes to your mind when you think about astronomy.
Well, I was always interested in astronomy as a kid. My grandfather would take me out at night and show me the stars, and I remember there was a big comet when I was about 10 or 12 years old that was in the summer sky for several weeks. But more importantly, that was my major at Northwestern. I went there to study journalism, but ended up changing my major to astronomy, and I still follow the news whenever there's some article about some new discovery, but that's my undergraduate major.
So astronomer turned librarian, huh?
Right. And there are a couple of us, but not many.
Right. The University of Denver and the MLIS program.
Well, when I was at Northwestern as an undergrad, I worked in the library shelving books to begin with, and I ended up being full-time stack supervisor. And one day I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do with a BA in astronomy?
Right.
And didn't really know, didn't want to go into graduate school in that area. So my colleagues, my librarian colleagues at the Northwestern Library suggested library school. So I applied to Chicago, which no longer has a program, Berkeley and Denver, and got accepted at all three and decided to go to Denver. I had family in Colorado, and my wife and I had just gotten married. We're still married after 43 years, I'm happy to say.
Congratulations.
Moved to Colorado and had a great year in Denver. It was a very good program. Well, the nice thing about it, though, was that every weekend we could go up to the mountains and go hiking or whatever.
Okay. And this kind of leads me into the next one, I guess. Mentors and influence.
I think of three people off the top of my head, Forrest. One, when I went to UVA, that was my first job, Charlottesville. Kendon Stubbs, who was my boss for several years, associate director, and the director of the library, Ray France. They were both good mentors to me. They gave me my first administrative job. They were good role models for me, and I knew early on I wanted to be a library director or dean, and it was because watching them and learning from them that I was able to move on that path. And then also Saul Lee, who was my boss at the University of Oklahoma. Saul gave me my first major administrative job as head of public services at OU. So those three guys were the main influences in my early career.
Okay. Well, let me ask a quick question. What specifically, can you name something specifically in regards to, you said something happened or there were some incidents that made you knew right then and there that you want to become a library director. Do you remember what those instances were?
No, I can't think of a specific instance. I think it was just watching what the director of the library did, the influence that he had on library policy, and also, going to national meetings and giving papers and really, talking about the way the library should be developed in general. You know, UVA was and still is a major ARL library, and so we just had a lot of interesting people coming through to visit Mr. France, and got to meet a lot of them and just influenced early on how exciting it could be to be in administration.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the obstacles. Everything's been pretty smooth. Let's talk about some of the obstacles that you experienced at, or if you had any obstacles, as Library Public Services at University of Oklahoma or Oklahoma University.
There really weren't any obstacles, just some challenges. You know, I was moving from an administrative position that didn't really supervise librarians to a position where I had to supervise department heads and librarians. So I was learning how to do a good job of supervising professional staff, being in charge of several departments, all the public services areas, circulation, reference, interlibrary loan,
right.
Branch libraries, special collections, and that sort of thing. So learning how to do all that was a challenge at first, but I think I was able to adapt pretty well. We implemented a new automated
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, we implemented a new automated system while I was there. That was a big challenge. As all of you know who've done that, there's just a lot of details. And every so often there's a bump in the road. Things don't work out the way you expect it to. I got involved in learning about disaster preparedness because we had a beautiful building that unfortunately had some water problems. When it rained very hard in Oklahoma, which it can do, we would have some flooding and so on. So I got involved in disaster preparedness organization locally. And so, you know, there are a lot of challenges, but no real obstacles, I think.
All right. Okay. The difference between being a public services, I guess, librarian and the director when you're at Texas El Paso.
Okay, well, that was my next job, and I guess the main thing is, you know, when you become the director or the dean, you need to take a broader view of things. You know, you're in charge of everything, not just public services.
Right.
And, I found that I had to be able to, and I still do have to be able to, have an intelligent conversation with anybody on the staff, no matter what area it is. I may not get down to the detail anymore like I used to, but
right.
I have to be able to talk, and help people with whether it's public services, tech services, systems, or whatever.
All right.
I think that's
Hold
the
on
biggest
one second.
Difference.
We have another caller. Let's chime them in. Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Spaces. Oh, they just hang up. They just hung up on us. Okay, that's fine.
Just to follow up, Forrest, on the question, the other thing is, you know, you begin as a director to work in the broader university community with the other deans and with the faculty and that sort of thing, and that's a big difference. But one I enjoy, I still do.
All right. Well, let me talk a little bit about that. What are some of the, I guess, for all of the librarians and information specialists out there that have a vision and goals of being a library admin, how important is developing rapport with other deans on campus and developing relationships with other, with the provost and other deans and other disciplines and other areas on campus?
Well, you have to understand all areas of the campus, the other, whether it's a college or school or some administrative unit, so that you can better articulate your needs, whether it's to the provost or to the dean's council or whatever, and understand better how you can support these other units and be able to explain to them. You know, most of the deans I've run into understand the importance of the library and what we do, but on the other hand, it's not the first thing on their mind, so it's up to the dean to,
correct,
articulate the needs and advocate for the library.
And just a follow-up question to that, how important is it to understand the provost or the one above you? Is it well, evidently it is vital, but how is it important to have that relationship with the provost or the dean in regards to communicating your needs or the library's needs and understanding the back-and-forth relationship?
Well, it's extremely important, and the reason is, you know, you're articulating mainly financial needs, so
right.
Your budget proposal and so on, and you want support of the provost. So depending on the provost, you have to explain more or less what you're doing, what your needs are, why you need it, and that sort of thing. I've been lucky in my current job. I've had three different provosts, all of whom have understood libraries extremely well, and it's really an easy task to explain to them what we need to do and so on. And, you know, they have to have confidence in you. My attitude has always been to do the best possible job I can do so the provost doesn't have to worry about the library.
Right. Well, that's awesome if you've had that type of relationship. The number here, if you want to call, is 347-945-5190. That's 347-945-5190. We just had a caller call in, and I think they hung up on us. But if you want to call back, please call back. I saw that you were on there for a couple of seconds, so please call back. Once again, 347-945-5190. Paul, you still with us? Do you have anything you want to ask or add?
No, I'm fascinated listening to what our main person on the show today has been talking about in terms of the relationships. I guess there is a question that comes to mind immediately. So with all the communication going on, what was the driving factor in the learning space that you just redesigned on your campus?
Well, it wasn't a redesign. Actually, it was a new thing for us.
Okay.
And the driving factor are a couple things. One, we needed more library space, but we needed more modern library space. So when I was hired in 05 here at Loyola, the first task I was given, which I willingly took, was to plan a new library space. They had a building designated, a new building, but they needed some direction as to what to put in it. And I just come from TCU, where we had implemented information commons spaces in the main library. And so I suggested that we have the information commons, and I explained the concept to everyone, and they really liked it. We ended up jumping a little ahead here, but our philosophy for this project, what I call the three C's, of collaboration, connectivity, and community. And I used those three C's to explain to the Board of Trustees, to the other deans, to the provost, and our university community why this was important. The collaboration, the first C, has to do with the fact that students, and this is not going to be anything new to any of you, that students like to study together. They're often asked to study together, do group projects, so they need space to collaborate. So we built into the IC here at Loyola group study rooms, large study tables, groupings of softs furniture, and that sort of thing to really facilitate students working together. The connectivity is a no-brainer. I mean, nowadays, and even before we opened the building, social media was not a big deal. It is now. But students are connected all the time to each other, to their families, to their professors, and whether it's by email, social media, the telephone, we wanted to provide that infrastructure. So the building is very high-tech, wireless throughout. Every computer, of course, is connected to the Internet, that sort of thing. So we want people to feel connected, and we really feel that they are. And then community, at the time, we really didn't have a very nice student center. We do now. But at the time, we didn't. And so it really became a place for students to hang out, to be with their friends. They may be there to study, but they might also be there to relax. So we, you know, incorporated a cafe in the building and comfortable furniture and relaxed rules on food and drink and that sort of thing. So it's worked out really well. I would add a fourth C now that we've been in the building, and that is creation of knowledge. Because when you think about it, using all the tools we provide electronically through our website and through the actual hardware and so on, we give students the opportunity to create knowledge and to, you know, to learn and put all that information together. It's a very long answer.
That's a good question. Great answer. I just wanted to add, how's the in constructing the building and the prep and preparation? How was the communication and dialogue with IT? Was there a big communication with that? Is IT housed within the library, or is it kind of like outsourced within the campus, or how does that work with the technology and the connectivity and everything?
Well, the IT department per se has its own space in another building, but the project from the beginning, I should have mentioned this, was a partnership with IT. So they have a very big presence in the building. They maintain all of our technology, keep the computers up to date, make sure the wireless system's working. They moved the help desk for IT into the building. So there's people there to help both in person and on the phone and via the net. They're there all the time. It's been a really good relationship. They also sit at our service desk with the librarians. This was a big change for us because before this building opened, like many IT departments, they were Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And if you had a problem on night or weekend, you had to just leave a message and they'd get back to you the next Monday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
but that's totally changed, and they've embraced that model and just do a great job.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. We have another caller. Let me chime them in. Caller, how you doing?
Hi. I have a question or two for the main person for today.
Okay.
My campus, I'm at a community college in Texas, and we have a bond election two propositions, one passed this past November. The other part should be going through this May. And if it goes through, it'll be to renovate the whole campus, and that includes the library. And my boss and I, the director, were researching library commons. And hearing everything that I've heard so far sounds good. I just want to get as much information as I can.
So
I don't know if you have any more information you can give me as far as learning commons and renovating spaces. And the facility we have is 30 years old, and a lot of the library is original to, the carpet, the paint, the furniture, all of that is pretty much original when it was first built. And so our infrastructure is also from the 1983-85
right.
is when the campus opened. So I don't know, what can you give me?
Go ahead.
I would just say, first of all, there's a lot in the literature about this and a number of listservs and so on. There is an Information Commons discussion group at ALA. They meet every conference. It'd be good to get plugged into that if you can. As I say, there's a lot of articles been written, even some books about this. There's a lot to consider. You know, what kind of services will you offer? What kind of furniture you'll use? I would say make the furniture as flexible as possible. That is to say, at least in part of the building, you need to have some desks and tables that students can move around and create their own little study groups or work groups. Rolling whiteboards are a nice idea. Group study rooms, at least at our institution and others that I've visited, are really important. Students like to work together, and you have to be able to provide that kind of collaborative space to the students. With the new renovation, obviously, you're going to put in lots of wireless and internet connections. One piece of advice I would give you is put in as many electrical outlets as you can.
Yeah.
We thought we put enough in 2006, and we don't have enough today. And what we didn't anticipate was that students would want to be charging their devices, their multiple devices, while they're working at a computer. So they might want to be recharging their phone or their iPad or whatever. So lots of electrical outlets, lots of group study space. Make it attractive. If you don't already, start allowing food and drink in the building. You want to make the place as inviting as possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you provide technology and coffee and comfortable furniture, believe me, they'll come and use it.
Yeah.
Now, you also have to consider having good, having librarians and tech people there to help.
Yeah, I would love to have a tech person. Unfortunately, we don't. And there's a small computer service department for every single facility we have, and we have a few satellite facilities. So, unfortunately, we don't have a dedicated tech person for the library. And as far as comfy furniture, we do get complaints on that from students because what we have isn't really comfy. And our president's talking, he uses the term sticky spaces. And think of Barnes & Noble-like setting in the library type of thing. As far as on campus, we're a rural community college. The only place on campus that has any comfy seating, it's kind of in an enclosed foyer before you get to the library. It's the Caddo Cafe. The only cafe part is a fancy coffee machine. It'll do lattes and whatnot. And so it's used a lot, but it's also really small. We do have Wi-Fi all over campus at least, but also our outlets. We definitely don't have enough electricity for sure. And mm-hmm. right now it's at its max. So... Would you be willing to share any information as far as any of the information commons that you've been a part of?
Well, sure. You could probably get in touch with Forrest, and he can give you my email. And
definitely.
If you want to send me a request, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Yeah, we could. That would be the best way. We can I can shoot you, find out some questions, just figure out what you exactly what you need. We can get you some literature. We can get you set up to some listservs and some resources. But there's definitely tons of information out there. And the only thing I would add is just make sure you find out what the mission is and the strategic plan is for your university. Make sure that coincides with the information commons or what you're trying to do as well. So,
okay.
But I thank you for your call, and I thank you for your time, and thank you for your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. That was good stuff. Let me jump back on board right quick. I know we were on the information commons. So we kind of left off with what was going on, how it kind of came about, the infrastructure, and how the processes were coming about. But let's talk about the future. What are some of the next steps in regards to your envisioning, or maybe your staff would like to see happen with your commons? What things haven't maybe you all touched on and that you want to touch on in your commons?
Okay, that's a great question, because about a year ago, I appointed a committee to look at the future, because we'd been open 5 years at that point, or 6 years, and I felt that even though we were doing a good job, we needed to think about the future. So the committee got together, and that was library and IT people, and they came up with a number of recommendations that we're in the process of figuring out how we're going to implement them, because some of them are pretty expensive. But this summer we're going to be updating our library instruction room, which is in the IC, make that more flexible and more usable by our librarians. We want to add presentation spaces for students to practice giving a speech. A lot of places do that. We didn't do that. We'd like to create maker spaces in our building, get a couple 3D printers, and give students a chance to try that out. We might be making some furniture changes. I mentioned that flexible furniture. We don't have flexible furniture, but hopefully we'll have some in the future. So just things like that. There's a lot we need to be doing, and we have a really great staff, and we have a steering committee that meets quarterly, and that includes librarians and IT folks, and they're on top of things, which I'm very grateful for.
Right. Yeah, I definitely I think we are definitely going to approach that topic in the fall. The makerspaces are just taking off, and there are a lot of universities, a lot of colleges, and a lot of private institutions who are actually working on makerspaces and do a lot of cool things. So hopefully we can touch on that topic in the fall and get some people in here and talk about what type of awesome things they're doing. I just want to go back for a minute, back to the Word Association, while we have a couple minutes left. Are you good, Paul? Are you still with us?
I'm still with you. In fact, if I can pop another question in, Robert just mentioned...
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Wanted to redo the instruction rooms. What are you seeing in terms of the changing way that we're working with our learners that are affecting how you're designing your spaces there and that information commons?
Well, I mentioned collaborative work. That's one influence. So, in the new room, we hope to have furniture which can be movable for students to work around with. Right now we have the traditional room, rows of desks with computers hardwired to the floor. They can't see over the top to see the instructor very well. So we're going to have them kind of around the room, facing the center of the room for the instructor to walk around and talk, but also to work together in group assignments during the instruction. We found that, like a lot of research has shown, learners have different ways of learning, and whether it's they're visual learners or...
Right.
Extra learners and so on. So we're trying to incorporate all that in.
Okay. In 10 or 15 seconds, give me some advice for middle managers.
Well, I think it's important for a middle manager.
Hello? Paul, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, but I think we've lost Robert.
Yeah, I think we have. Well, it's okay.
The butler did. We were right at the good part, Forrest.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the wisdom of the universe. Stories over.
Let's see. Well, we got about 20 seconds left. So, first of all, I want to say, well, thank you, Paul, for coming on the show, and adding some extra zeal to it. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to another academic year of our episodes. We will be back next fall, 2015, with some more new topics and some more new information. I hope you will stay with us and join us for that. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one.